Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you are the Lord of harvest. You ask us to pray to you, to ask you to send our worker into your harvest field. And I pray that you use your servant to prepare God's people for work of service, for your kingdom, instead of just getting a job in the secular world to earn for a living. And I pray that you raise up smart people, good people, your children, to do your work so as to please you. As we please you on earth, and I pray that you do not make each and every one of us feel ashamed. And I pray that you encourage each and every one of us, give out the best, and so as to build up the body of Christ, that is the church. As we build up your church, and I pray that you honor us and set us apart so that we be a noble instrument in your sight. As we are faithful in serving you now, and I pray that in due time when we see you face to face, we will be richly rewarded. We won't come to your kingdom, we'll be empty-handed. We come with a lot of fruit in exchanging the city that you want us to reign as king together with you for 1,000 years on earth and for eternity in your new heaven and new earth. And I pray that you encourage each and every one of us and speak to us in such a way that we know what to do. We know how to live for you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to, last week I talked about what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in the lower earthly region and what he has done when he ascended to the to heavens, which is higher than all the other heavens. You know, in other words, there's a lot of heavens. And Paul, at that time, he goes to the third heavens. The heaven that we see is the first heaven, okay? And Paul went to a third heaven. And today I want to talk about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostle, some to be prophet, some to be evangelist, and some to be pastor and teachers. In verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service. I want to stop here. Nowadays, a lot of elders and deacons, they are serving in the church, and yet they do not know what they're doing. As they write up the job description for the senior pastor and job description for all the other pastor. You know, I found out it's really, really sad because people do not read the scripture and then they write up manual as to what to do for the pastor as if they were the boss. And I want you to understand in here, that sink into your mind. We are not trying to build any church that is contrary to the teaching of the Bible. Okay? When Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, he gave some to be apostle, some to be prophet, and we know that in those days the apostle and prophet are the author of all the books, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. 66 books was written by both the apostle and prophets. And some to be evangelists, some to be pastor and teacher. You know what? In here, based upon this verse 12,
his main task, his main job description is to prepare God's people for work of service. I want you to know, because one thing I know is when I pass away, or when you grow older, you may move to another city. When you move to another city, you may join Alliance Church, you may join Baptist Church, and you end up doing the same thing what the other churches are doing. And they are not doing the work of God. They are not doing the God service. I want you to sink into your mind, whatever the job you're doing, whatever the job you serve in the church, make sure you read the scripture. Can you imagine, you know, like when I was an engineer in Edmonton, I did one job. I worked for Imperial Oil. And when I get into their job site, they handed me the manual. In other words, before you enter into their job site, you have to follow the manual. Something you can do, something you cannot do. Do you have this kind of stuff when you are in Fort McMurray?
It's everywhere.
Everywhere, right? So what if you start your job, you don't follow the manual? What's the outcome? You don't follow the manual, I can guarantee you, you'll be fired. Because the insurance company won't insure. I know, like Imperial Oil, he didn't have insurance company because the premium is so high, he insured himself. So he take his own risk. So that's why he has all kind of a manual, what to do, what not to do. Even though this manual given to a subcontractor and contractor, everyone has to follow that. And I want to make sure that all Christian, whenever you serve in the church, I want you to follow the manual, that is the Bible, okay? When it comes to the job description of the pastor, job description, now we don't have apostles, now we don't have prophet, we have evangelists, we have the prophet are doing, as we call it. So, description in verse 12, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12, the job description of evangelist, of pastor, of teacher means also Sunday school teacher, whether they pay or not pay. And their job is to what? Prepare God's people. For works of service. But I want to just stop here. Based upon what you know. Okay? I want you to share with me. The church that you attend, is the pastor, is the teacher, Sunday school teacher, preparing you for work of service, or just showing you how to do it? Well, what I'm trying to say is, you just take a look of all other churches. You don't have to name names, either Baptist Church, Alliance Church, Pentecostal Church. When we found out that we are sort of workers, what do they do? What would the pastor do? Have a board meeting, set aside the budget, hire a pastor to do the job. Is that the job? Is that what the local church are doing nowadays? Or when we see that there's a task needed to be done, and yet the pastor prepare people, God's people. I mean, God's people is saint, is Christian, believer. Prepare them, equip them, help them in such a way that they can take up the task. and do it. So, which one is doing now? The local church are doing it. The first one or the second one? Hiring the pastor to do the job. And then all the congregation just listen to them, right? So, are we following the manual? We are not following the manual. So, I'm afraid when I pass away, or when you have a job in Calgary, you go to another Ottawa or promotion or whatever, you go there to get a job, you end up attending the local church, I can tell you, 99.99% of the pastor are not equipping God's people for work or service. They dare not tell you what to do. They're just doing the job. If they find out they don't have enough worker, they tell the board, hire more people. And the more pastor, and the less people are willing to serve because I pay the money already. Right? I tell you what's the job description of a pastor. First of all, job description. First of all, I tell you what's the job description of a pastor, and then I tell you what's your job description. Job description for a pastor. Number one, prepare God's people in Ephesians 4:12. Secondly, devoted himself in prayer. And thirdly, devoted himself in the Word of God. Where does it say? In the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 4. That's the New Testament teaching. In the Old Testament teaching, 1 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 23. The New Testament teaching, Acts 6, 4, who said that? Mainly said by Peter and the other apostle, 12 of them. And this is the Apostle Peter is the apostle of the Jews. And I want to hear what is the apostle of the Gentile saying. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 3. Chapter 4. I think it's verse 12, something like that. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. I'm sorry. So, that's the job description for pastor, teacher, evangelist, prophet. Devoted himself in prayer, in preaching the word of God. So let me read that to you. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Based upon the New Testament teaching. Carl, could you read that starting from verse 1, but mainly in verse 4, but starting from verse 1, then you know the background of it. Why the apostle saying what they are saying?
Gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us.
responsibility over to them. And we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word.
So I just want to see whether where the apostle, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the 12 apostles, when they gathered together, they gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on table. In other words, hey, as well, by the time chapter 6, how many people come to know Christ? In chapter 2, 3,000, chapter 4, 5,000. So you talk about 8,000 plus. That's recorded in the Bible. So probably 10,000 people, you know. If they are husband and wife coming, probably 20,000. It's a lot of people. Some are Greek-speaking Jews. Some are Hebrew-speaking Jews. And the church only looking after the Hebrew-speaking Jews and neglecting the Greek-speaking Jews, just like in Chinese church sometimes. The church only looking after the the Cantonese speaking and neglecting the English speaking, or just some other church only looking after the English speaking and neglecting the Chinese speaking. So always a problem like that. And then they complain to the pastor. They say, well, it's not fair. How come you're not looking after another language group? And then the 12 apostles saying that it's not right for them to wait on table to serve you, to provide food, you know, physical food. And he's supposed to provide spiritual food, the word of God. And then what did they say? They say, brother, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom. I want to stop here. Do they hire 7 pastors? Or do they get 7 people who's filled with the Holy Spirit and ask the brother and sister to do it? Prepare God people to do the ministry of God's word. Wait on table is God ministry too, right? I want to stop here. Wait on the table is God ministry. Well, why do I say that? Luke chapter 1 verse, I think 1 to 3. Moses, could you read that? You know, in those days, there's Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Rosanna, or Susanna, or whatever, you know, they're the lady, they're using their own means to support the 12 apostles, and their name will be recorded there. So that means their ministry of high value, otherwise it won't be recorded in the Bible. So Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, what are they doing that Dr. Luke recorded their ministry?
After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. 12 were with them, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Jonah, the wife of Chuza. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means.
So they are supporting God's ministry. They're not full-time workers. They support it out their means. That means in those days, the teacher or Jesus prepared God's people for work of service, right? They don't hide. You know, I've seen some pastor, you know, they call director of the youth, and then they what do? They train up people to play basketball. Hey, come on, you don't need a pastor to train. But a lot of people, they are so good in playing basketball, they're willing to be a coach. You understand what I'm trying to say? This is amazing. So, Jonathan, you want the church to pay you to teach us to play violin, or are you going to do it out of your own means?
Jonathan plays violin.
Jonathan plays violin. Hey, for a change, I mean, Joshua, come on. Anyway, you want us to pay violin, or you want to do it out of your own mean?
Out of my own means.
Okay. So. What did he say? You charge them arm and leg?
No, that's Gabriel.
Gabriel, why are you doing that?
What?
Why are you not doing it for free? Okay, now the job description of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. First of all, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service, just like Jesus prepared Joanna, Susanna, Mary Magdalene, for work of service, to serve God out of their own means. And, you know, when they serve God, they will remember, as we call it in Luke chapter 8. And what about Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 4? In those days, they found out that we need someone to wait on the table to serve the elderly, provide them with food, physical food. And they don't hire 7 pastors. They gathered together all disciples and said to them, you know, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom. And we will turn this responsibility over to them. And what's the reason why the church now no go church? When they find out there's a need for ministry and they hire a pastor, they don't give it to the lay people to do it. What's the reason for that? So they are not preparing God's people for service. They just want people to be speculator. Not speculators. Spectator. Right? That's not good. They just want people to be an onlooker, right? Just look around and don't do anything. And see how the pastor is doing it. That's not right. That is against biblical teaching. Right? Jesus wasn't doing like this. You know, he raised up, you know, Susanna, Joanna, Mary Magdalene. They support the ministry of their own men. And in here, they pick up 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom. And we turn this responsibility over to them. And we, as apostles, give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word of God. I want to take a look at what Paul is saying. That's what Peter is saying. That's what the 12 apostles is saying. I want to take a look at what Paul is saying when he teach the young pastor, Timothy. Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. You know what? If you are well versed, if you know the Bible, and if you are serving in the elder board, and if the senior pastor saying that, you know, I need to hire some other pastor to do this, to do that, and you know, if you study this Bible in here with me, and somehow if you get into another church, I think you should say to the pastor, why don't we follow what the Bible teaching? Why don't you prepare God people for this kind of service? Because there's a lot of God's people. They are talented with different kind of gifts. They are capable of doing that. Instead of keep hiring people to do it and end up, we don't have opportunity to serve. Okay? Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 all the way to 4. Okay? Hannah, could you read that? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4.
I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth.
So, what is the reason why the senior pastor Paul saying to the young pastor? First of all, the utmost important thing is that request, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, especially who? the kings, and all those in authority. Why? So that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and holiness. This is good. Praying is good. Intercession is good. Request is good. Thanksgiving is good. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. First of all, Paul saying to Timothy, you have to put your first priority in prayer. Secondly, chapter 4, verse 13. Hannah, could you read that? 4:13, 1 Timothy.
Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching.
Paul warned Timothy to devote himself first of all to prayer and then to the public reading of the Scripture and to preaching and to teaching. That is the ministry of the Word. Right? Now take a look at the Old Testament teaching. 1 Samuel, Joshua 12 to 23. Chapter 12, verse 23. Yeah?
For me, it is for me that I pray to the Lord by failing to pray for you, and I will teach you the way that is good and right.
So in other words, as far as the prophet Samuel is doing is two things, right? That is his job description, right? What's the first thing?
Pray.
What if he failed to pray?
That would be a sin against the Lord.
He sins against the Lord. Mm-hmm. Second thing.
Teach what is good and right.
What's the highest priority?
Pray.
Second is teaching, right? Mm-hmm. It looks like it's the Peter talking about the same thing. Paul talking about the same thing. Right? The Old Testament teaching is same as the New Testament teaching, right? Isn't it? Chapter 2, prayer, intercession, thanksgiving, request, be made for everyone, especially for king and for those in authority. Why? If you pray for the king, you know, pray for your boss, you can live a good and quiet and godly life, okay? And peaceful life. Now I want to stop here. Take a look at the based upon the job description, because I believe when God asked Paul and Peter and all these kind of apostles to write, you know, a prophet and to write the book of Acts, book of 1 Samuel, book of 1 Timothy, and I believe that's the manual. That's the job description for pastor, for teacher, for evangelist. I want to stop here and think about that to evaluate our own church. What kind of priority do we make? Do we make the priority to prepare God's people in our church and encourage brother and sister to serve? Do we have that? I would encourage more people to come out to the ministry of the Word of God. You know, other than the Lamb's family and a few others, deacons or helper or servants of God, they don't come to the prayer meeting. Right? Paul saying that prayer is very important. This pleases God. This is good. But we are not doing the good thing. And the pastor say, well, you, as long as you come on Sunday, and I'm happy already. You know? I don't know. I believe that when God judges us, I think he's going to use his word to judge us. I prove it to you. I would like you to turn to Gospel of John chapter 5. And then Gospel of John chapter 12. First of all, Gospel of John chapter 5. Let's see what the Bible says regarding judgment. Chapter 5, verse 22. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. That means our Heavenly Father, God, the Heavenly Father, will not judge us, because He has entrusted all judgment to the Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Verse 23. That all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So, based upon 5:22 to 23 of the Gospel of John, I know that our Heavenly Father will not judge us. Jesus Christ will judge us. Okay? And then based upon chapter 12, Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 47 all the way to verse 50. As for the person who hears my word but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world but to save it. There is a judge. For the one who reject me and does not accept my word, that very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father has sent me, commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that this command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Now, at first I thought, you know, in the Old Testament, God is a judge. He will judge me. But in New Testament, Jesus said, no, He will not judge. He entrusted that judgment to Jesus Christ. And later on in chapter 12, Jesus Christ said, I won't judge you. The word, the very word that I spoke will judge you. If the very word of God will judge us, Jesus said, I do not judge him. As for the person who hears my word but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who reject me and does not accept my word. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. In other words, God will reward us according to his word, and God will condemn us according to his word. And then you say, wow, Pastor John, what you just quoted, all this is not Jesus saying. It's just Apostle Peter saying, Apostle Paul saying, and Prophet Samuel saying. I want you to write that down right beside here. You write down 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 2. Peter saying, you know what is Jesus' command? What is Jesus' order? The teaching of the apostle is Jesus' command, is Jesus' word. Donald, could you read that?
I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets, and if man didn't know our word, say that through your apostles.
Say that again, the last part.
I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets, and the commands given by our word, say that through your apostles.
Peter is saying that he wants us to remember what the Old Testament teaching and also the New Testament teaching. That's the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. The command of our Lord Jesus Christ is through who? Through the apostle. Right? So in other words, whatever Apostle Paul teaching, that's Jesus' command. Right? So what I'm trying to say is, our Heavenly Father will not judge us. Jesus Christ will not judge us. His word that is written in the Bible will judge us. He will ask us, the ABC Church, Apostolic Bible Church, do they, do all the God's people in this church know His command, know what He requires of us to do? So Joshua, assuming, I hope that's not true, okay, assuming you get a job in Ottawa to be a chief surgeon, okay, for the Prime Minister. Okay. And then you attend the church, and then the pastor, you are just happen to be chairman of the board or whatever, or vice chairman, and he say to you, I need more pastor to help serving in the church. What would you say? What have you learned today? Wow. Where does it say?
Acts 6:4.
So choose among people from our own congregation. You know, if we can't find anyone, then we have to, if you can't find anyone, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12, what should we do? Prepare God's people for words of service. Mm-hmm. Choose from within. That is the biblical teaching. Because God will judge us. Are we following Acts chapter 4? Acts chapter 6 verse 1 to 4? Are we following Ephesians 4:12? Are we getting out of, you know, I mean, why don't we follow that first? Right? We have to ask ourselves, you know, do you find out that you have a problem? Okay, as the church grow, 3,000, 5,000 more, and then 8,000, now we find out we need more people to wait on the table. Can we not find people among ourselves? Right? We should be able to find people among ourselves. Do you equip people? Do you prepare people for work of service? I believe God will judge us based upon His word in the future. Based upon John chapter 5, John chapter 12. I believe so. Because the word that I spoke to you will condemn and will reward you. If you follow that, He will reward you. If you against it, you do not accept it, He will condemn it. Right? And I believe He will do that. Second thing, what's the higher priority for Christian? Should Christian put a high priority in prayer? Now I want to stop here. How do I know how to pray if I don't know the will of God? Right? I can't pray out of my own word, right? I have no power for that. God say, when did I promise you? Where did I promise you? When did I promise you? Right? If you pray according to God's word, you say, well, that's what you say. When you pray according to His word, He will answer your prayer because that's what He promised you. If you pray out of your own word, He say, you know, same as if I say to Hannah, if Hannah promised me to take me out for lunch, and every time I see her, when are you going to take me out for lunch? But if Hannah never told me that I'll take you out for lunch, there's no point in saying that take me out for lunch. You try to rip me off or what? You understand what I'm trying to say? But if you promise someone that you do certain things, I take you out for lunch, and people hold on to your word, and every time he sees you, he asks you, he asks you so many times, and one of these days you're going to take him out for lunch already. You understand what I'm trying to say? If someone never promised you, you keep saying it, you waste your time. You understand? So, first of all, we have to prepare God's people for work of service. We have to prepare God's people so that they understand the promise of God. So that they know how to pray. Claim to His promise. And we have to prepare God's people to understand God's word so that they can do the ministry of the word, so they can do the teaching. Well, same as when I listened to the sermon that preached by the Pastor Josh. Oh, man.
Pastor Josh.
Pastor Josh?
DJ
Lamb? Did the pastor listen to your sermon?
Yeah.
Did he shake his head?
No.
What did he do? Did he say good job?
Yeah.
Yeah, is he embarrassed? Did you preach it without manuscript, or you preach with manuscript?
No, with manuscript.
Or you preach with manuscript, okay? If you preach without manuscript, oh man, I think he could drop dead, you know? Next time you preach without manuscript, okay? Oh, you're going to impress him. He's going to repent, I tell you. You say, where does this guy come from, you know? Wow, man. Okay, now I want to take a look to see whether, you know, we do the job. Ephesians chapter 4, we go back. Daniel, did you listen to that sermon? Did you? Which one? The one by Joshua. I sent it to your daddy, mommy. You should go and listen. Jonathan, do you listen to that? You haven't? I think we sent it. Joanne, did you receive it?
Yeah.
Jean, did you don't see that? I want all of you to listen to that. Okay, we sent it to your daddy, mommy. Okay, listen. Chapter 4, verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service. Some people are way on table. Some people are devoted themselves on the ministry of the Word of God. So that the body of Christ, circle the word, body of Christ, right? The church. So that the body of Christ, so that the church may be built up. Nowadays, a lot of people has a misunderstanding, thinking that, oh, the church may be built up is physical building. No, physical building is not the church. The body of Christ is the saint, is God's people. God's people gathering together is the body of Christ. Okay? So that the body of Christ may be built up. Build up to certain stage. What stage? Until we all reach unity in the faith. Until we all reach unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. When we reach unity in the faith, when we reach unity in the knowledge of the Son of God, then this body of Christ become mature. When the body of Christ become mature, the body of Christ will attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, when people come to this church, you know what they see? They see Jesus Christ in the church. Now, I want to put emphasis into two things. What a mature church is like. What a mature church is like. A mature body of Christ is like in two things. We all reach unity in the faith, unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. How can we reach unity in the faith? Faith come from what? I want you to circle the word faith, and then you write down Romans 10:17. We all reach unity
in the faith. Circle the word faith. You write down Romans 10:17. Gabriel, could you read that? So in order for a church, in order for the body of Christ to reach unity in the faith, do they have to hear the message of the word of Christ? Then I want to stop here. I'm not saying about this church. Before you come to this church, did you go to any other church? Do they spend more time in storytelling, or they spend more time in telling you what Jesus is saying, what the apostles are saying? Because Jesus is saying is through the apostle teaching, right? When they give you illustration, do they use Bible illustration or secular illustration? If we hear different things, we believe in different things, we won't reach unity in the faith unless we hear the word of God and we understand it. Then we reach unity of the faith. Unity in the faith. Secondly, we all reach unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. What does it mean by unity in the knowledge of the Son of God? What does it mean by the knowledge of the Son of God? How do I know the Son? I want you to write down knowledge right beside the knowledge. You circle that. You write down 1 John Chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. If anyone claims to know God, to know Jesus Christ, and do not obey him, he is a liar. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know Jesus. Reach unity in the knowledge of the Son of God, that means you obey what Jesus is saying to you. You follow his pattern. You follow his footstep. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20? Go and make disciple of what? Of all nations. Did he say make disciple or make believer? Disciple? Disciple, that means follower. Whatever Jesus say, we follow, we practice it. Right? So I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 21. Surely you heard of him, you heard of Jesus Christ, and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You heard of him, you were taught in him, and you have to learn from him. Follow his footstep. The NIV translation is not as good as the Chinese translation. I do it this way, okay? Listen to me. You heard of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive his word, and then you learn from him. You learn from him by following him. 4:21, I want you to write down 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Just being the hearer
of His Word doesn't help you to know Him. You still don't know Him. Just hearing Him doesn't know Him. Because we don't understand. Hearing is the first step. After you heard of it, you receive His Word, hide it within your heart, and then you put it into practice. Then you know Him. That's how you know Him. You know Him by put what you learn, what you hear into practice. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. We know that we have come to know Him. Come to know Jesus if we obey His command. If we follow Him. Just hearing His Word doesn't know Him yet. A lot of people deceive ourselves, just like what James is saying. Do not deceive yourself. Don't just be the hearer of your word. Don't just be the hearer of the word of God. Also be the doer of the word of God. Hearing it without doing it, you still don't know Him. According to the biblical teaching of knowledge, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His command. Verse 4. The man who say, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar. The truth is not in him. A lot of Christians in the church, they say they know Jesus. They say they all reach unity in the knowledge of the Son of God, but in reality, they don't know Jesus. What is a mature Christian is like, Carl? What is a mature church is like? Maturity of Christian or maturity of the church. There's two signs. How do I measure his maturity? Okay. Yeah, that is also the maturity of a church, yeah. And what else? Hannah, could you tell me?
How do you consider church mature?
Yeah. We all reach unity in the faith. We all believe in the same thing because we have to hear the same Bible. We hear the same Bible. We believe in the same thing. It's not that, oh, you believe in this thing, I believe in another thing. You know, like, oh, if you talk about no knowledge, oh, based upon English dictionary, the knowledge means one thing. Using the English dictionary to explain the knowledge of Christ doesn't help you understand the knowledge of Christ. But if I'm using 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, do you know Christ? According to biblical standard, then you have to use biblical Bible words, right? Based upon Apostle John teaching in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, if I claim myself to know God, if I know Jesus, do I truly know Jesus? It depends. Do I obey His command? Do I follow Him? Am I truly His disciple? You understand what I'm trying to say? In the same way, take a look of, this is 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. That is Apostle John teaching, right? Apostle John teaching. Based upon his understanding, where his teaching come from? I think his teaching come from Jesus' teaching. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Because he remember what Jesus has taught. Jesus saying to the believing Jews, if you obey my command, you are truly my disciple. And you truly know me. And the truth will set you free. That's a biblical understanding of the knowledge of God, of the Son of God. You understand what I mean? I measure your maturity by how much you follow Jesus. Because if I see that you follow Jesus in speech, you follow Jesus in action, oh, I look at you, I see Jesus. I see that you have attained the full measure of Jesus Christ dwelt within you. Although I see Hannah, but in reality, I see Jesus. You speak like Jesus, you talk like Jesus, you act like Jesus, right? Jesus lived in you, right? Emmanuel. Hannah, could you read that 8, Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32? We will know the truth. How do we truly know the truth? By doing it, right? Put it into practice. So that's why, now, I want to stop here. Put it into practice. Prepare God's people for ministry of, prepare God's people for work of service. Is this very important? If you help them, encourage them, equip them, empower them to serve, through serving, they got to know God, right? Through serving, they got to know Jesus. Through service, they become mature. And they were set free. Free from the bondage of sin, right? It's amazing, eh? Same as if there's a sick people come to you, if you're a good physician, you don't just prescribe medication. You tell them to go to a gym and exercise, right? A lot of problem will be solved. Prepare God's people for God's ministry. Help you to understand God's word. It's not that Pastor John enslaves you. Pastor John empower you. Hey? What did you say, Hannah? Hey? Why do you keep talking? What did you say? Do you hear what? Nobody hear what you're talking about.
Josh did.
Josh, what did she say?
Nothing.
Something about that, like she should attend.
No, that's not you.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I want to stop here. So this coming Sunday, I'm gonna have
a lot of children. If they want to learn Mandarin, not Mandarin, violin. Violin. Hey, Joshua, do you speak Mandarin?
No.
You don't speak Mandarin? Are you Chinese?
Very good at Saturday morning.
You speak English?
All the kids speak
English?
Oh, man. Okay, now. But Joshua, I want you to teach them Bible first. And then you teach them violin. Okay? Okay? Okay, now we have one more. You, Pastor. PJ. PJ the Junior. Oh, man, I don't know that's two PJ. Oh, Pastor Jonathan. Pastor Jonathan to be the dirt. You know? I don't know whether I'm a prophet or not, okay? Now we rely upon you. You encourage him. Okay? Okay. I want to stop here.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we warn. When you judge us, in the future, and I pray that as we follow your command to prepare God's people for works of service, to devote ourselves in prayer, and to devote ourselves in the ministry of the word of God, if we do that, and I pray that you're going to reward us in due time, because you promise us. It is not the Heavenly Father who judges us, it's not Jesus Christ who judges us, it is your word who going to judge us, whether to condemn us or to reward us. Based upon your word. As we follow your command, the more we follow you, as your disciple, the more we become like you, and we become mature in your sight, attaining the full measure of the fullness of Christ. When people look at us, they see Christ live in us. And I pray that you enable, not only empower Joshua to do the job, empower all the other brothers and sisters, including Jonathan too, you know, to do ministry of your word. And so that we're not going to be lazy, we're going to be hardworking. And I pray that you empower our church. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. When they are faithful in serving you, I pray that you're going to reward them in their career and set them apart. How are you going to set Daniel apart in the sight of Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, and how you set Joseph apart in the sight of Pharaoh of Egypt? And I pray that you do the same thing. Set them apart in the eyes of their senior pastor, of their senior engineer and their senior partner, and reward them as they are faithful in serving you. And I pray that you hear my prayer, and I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.